Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Sunday, February 9th, 2025, is the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis celebrates the Jubilee of Armed Forces, Police, and Security Personnel with Mass in St. Peter's Square. Israel withdraws from part of Gaza as a further step in the ongoing ceasefire agreement. And voters in Kosovo are headed to the polls in an election marked by tensions between the Albanian majority and the Serb minority. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, Pope Francis on Sunday celebrated Mass in St. Peter's Square for the Jubilee of Armed Forces, Police, and Security Personnel. More than 100 nations were represented in the square, with the Holy Father encouraging security forces to entrust themselves and their mission to Christ. Deborah Castellano-Lubov tells us more.
Be courageous witnesses of the love of God our Father. Pope Francis stressed this at his Jubilee Mass for armed forces, police, and security personnel on Sunday. This was at the heart of Pope Francis's homily during the Jubilee Mass for armed forces, police, and security personnel on Sunday.
L'atteggiamento di Gesù presso il lago di Getsemani.
When the Lord gets into our lives to bring us the good news of God's love that constantly accompanies and sustains us, then, the Holy Father expressed, life begins anew. Hope is reborn, enthusiasm revives, and we can once again cast our nets into the sea. Pope Francis thanked them for all their service as he greeted all the authorities, military associations and academies, and military ordinaries and chaplains present. All of you, Pope Francis acknowledged, have been entrusted with a lofty mission that embraces numerous aspects of social and political life, defending our nations, maintaining security, and upholding legality and justice. The Pope recalled that in carrying out their work, which embraces their whole lives, they are accompanied by their chaplains, an important priestly presence in your midst, the Pope said. Their job, he underscored, is not, as has unfortunately happened in history, to bless perverse acts of war. No. Rather, he said, they are in your midst as the presence of Christ, who desires to walk at your side. Chaplains, the Holy Father recognized, accompany you at every step and help you to carry out your mission in the light of the gospel and in the pursuit of the common good.
Cari fratelli e sorelle, vi siamo grati per quanto operate.
We are grateful for what you do, at times at great personal risk, Pope Francis expressed to the armed forces, telling them to never lose sight of their purpose, of their service, and of their activity, which is to promote life, to save lives, and to be a constant defender of life. Be vigilant, the Pope warned, against the temptation to cultivate a warlike spirit. And be vigilant not to be taken in by the illusion of power and the roar of arms. He also cautioned against being poisoned by propaganda that instills hatred, dividing the world into friends to be defended and foes to fight. Instead, Pope Francis implored, be courageous witnesses of the love of God our Father, who wants us all to be brothers and sisters, as he encouraged, together then, let us set out to be artisans of a new era of peace, justice, and fraternity. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
At the conclusion of Sunday's Jubilee Mass, Pope Francis offered some additional brief reflections before leading the recitation of the Angelus Prayer. The Holy Father pointed out how those in military service can be agents of security and freedom of peoples in contributing to the establishment of peace. He also asked everyone to remember in their prayers people in the war zones of Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, Myanmar, Kivu in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Sudan, and their ardent desire for peace. Thaddeus Jones has this report.
At the conclusion of the Jubilee Mass for the armed forces, police, and security personnel presided over by Pope Francis in St. Peter's Square, the Pope quoted from the Vatican II Pastoral Constitution, Gaudium et Spes, and the importance of contributing to the establishment of peace.
Estendo il mio saluto a tutti I militari del mondo e vorrei ricordare.
He first warmly greeted all those present for this Jubilee celebration, including the military chaplains for their pastoral service, and he extended his greetings to those in military service throughout the world.
Dice il Concilio Vaticano II, coloro che al servizio della patria.
Quoting from the Second Vatican Council Pastoral Constitution, Gaudium et Spes, the Pope encouraged them, saying, those too who devote themselves to the military service of their country should regard themselves as the agents of security and freedom of peoples. He noted this armed service is to be exercised only in self-defense, never to impose domination over other nations, and always observing international conventions on conflict, and first and foremost, with sacred respect for life and creation.
Fratelli e sorelle, preghiamo per la pace nella martoriata Ucraina, in Palestina, in Israele.
In conclusion, Pope asked everyone to pray for peace in tormented Ukraine, in Palestine, Israel, and throughout the Middle East. He also remembered Myanmar and Kivu in the Democratic Republic of Congo and Sudan.
Tacciano ovunque le armi e si ascolti il grido.
He prayed that weapons be silent everywhere and the cry of people who are asking for peace be heard. He said, we entrust our prayers to the intercession of the Virgin Mary, Queen of Peace. I'm Dennis Jones.
In the latest from the Holy Land, Israeli troops have completed their withdrawal from the so-called Netzarim corridor in Gaza, one day after the release of several hostages held by Hamas in exchange for 183 Palestinian prisoners and detainees held by Israel. Nathan Morley has the latest.
This move, one of the key conditions of Phase 1, fulfills another condition of the hostage and ceasefire deal with Hamas. Meanwhile, negotiators are heading to Qatar for further talks. Israel says there are still technical issues to discuss about Phase 1 of the deal before discussions about Phase 2 get underway. The Israeli President Isaac Herzog said he finds President Trump's recent Gaza plan as an attempt to find a new way forward.
I'm sure that they will have to express their views on the issue. And of course, they are our partners in peace processes, including the Abraham Accord partners. And we'll have to find the right way to make sure that what happened will not recur again, meaning that Hamas cannot rule Gaza anymore.
Meanwhile, the media in Israel are reporting that the hostages released by Hamas are suffering from serious health problems after their long captivity. Hamas released Oad bin Amin, Eli Sharab, and Or Levi from 491 days of captivity on Saturday. According to health authorities, the men are suffering from malnutrition, muscle atrophy, heart defects, chronic inflammation, and psychological problems. In other developments, Egypt will host an emergency Arab summit on the Palestinian situation at the end of February. That's according to the Egyptian Foreign Ministry. Egypt said the summit was agreed after it had held talks with several Arab countries. The meeting was requested by the Palestinian Authority. Egypt said the meeting would discuss the latest serious developments in the Palestinian issue. This conflict erupted when Hamas seized 251 hostages and killed around 1,200 people when it attacked Israel on the 7th of October 2023. Since then, at least 48,189 Palestinians have been killed in Israel's offensive. That's according to figures from Gaza's health ministry. About two-thirds of Gaza's buildings have been damaged or destroyed by Israel's attacks, according to the UN. Around 700,000 residents of northern Gaza fled to southern areas at the start of the conflict when the Israeli military issued mass evacuation orders before launching a ground invasion of the Palestinian territory. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In Sudan, the formation of a new government is expected to occur after the recapture of Khartoum is completed, according to military sources speaking with Reuters on Sunday. That's a day after Army head Abdel Fattah al-Burhan said he would form a technocratic wartime government. The Sudanese army, long on the back foot in its war with paramilitary rapid support forces, has in recent weeks regained ground in the capital Khartoum along several axes, closing in on the symbolic presidential palace along the Nile. The conflict has created one of the world's largest humanitarian crises, with the displacement of more than 12 million people and half the population facing hunger. Finally, the people of Kosovo began voting Sunday in an election that analysts say could mark another milestone in the young country's history, as it may determine its future territorial integrity in an increasingly volatile region. However, as Stefan Boss reports, the election has been overshadowed by tensions between the ethnic Albanian majority and minority Serbs.
Camera crews struggle to get a glimpse of Kosovo's Prime Minister Albin Kurti as he cast his ballot in the parliamentary election of this small but strategic Balkan nation of 1.6 million people. Opinion polls suggested that his nationalist Verdeven Dosje, or Self-Determination Party, would receive the most votes, but not enough to form a majority government. Yet Kurti already warned he wasn't interested in a coalition with any significant opposition parties, suggesting more political turmoil in Kosovo. Polls appear to show that many voters are pleased that Kurti, who led the government since 2021, succeeded where his predecessors failed. He tightened the control of the Albanian majority government over a rebellious Serb area on its northern border. Kosovo's ethnically mainly Orthodox Serb minority is variously estimated to be 4 to 8% of the population, and many remain loyal to Belgrade rather than Pristina. The local Serbs' most significant stronghold is on the north side of the town of Mitrovica near the Serbian border. However, Prime Minister Kurti recently succeeded in deploying Kosovo police, shutting down parallel institutions and enforcing the use of the euro over the Serbian dinar currency. And he, with his party, campaigned to dismantle the remaining Serbian institutions in Kosovo while expanding the central government's reach over Serb-majority areas. That worries neighboring Serbia, which never recognized Kosovo's declaration of independence in 2008. The United States and the European Union have expressed concern. Kosovo also closely watches U.S. President Donald J. Trump's next move. The last Trump administration backed a plan that would eventually involve the partition of Kosovo, which Serbia still regards as its province. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our Vatican News web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Many thanks go to our sound technicians in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.